Blog Talk Radio.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now.
The New York Jets. No, I'm going to hold you to an answer on that. What makes America the greatest country in the world?
Well, Lewis and Sharon said it, diversity and opportunity and freedom and freedom.
I'm not letting you go back to the airport without answering the question.
Well, our Constitution is a masterpiece. James Madison was a genius. The Declaration of Independence is, for me, the single greatest piece of American writing.
You don't look satisfied.
One's a set of laws and the other's a declaration of war. I want a human moment from you. What about the people? Why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying...
Yes.
Let's talk about...
Fine. Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it any time he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so goddamn always?
Hey.
And with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation period ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore. Enough?
This is September the 4th, 2012, and we are getting ready to have the big dance here in Charlotte. This is The Last Word with Michael Lawson, and we're going to be on, this is a special broadcast of The Last Word. We're going to be on for the next 53 minutes or so. Then we're going to have a special broadcast tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And then we're going to come on Friday again at 3 to 5. So both days, tomorrow and Friday, we'll be on 3 to 5. These are special broadcasts, and I don't know, we might, because I'm going to the Congressional Black Caucus thing tonight, and after the great lady speaks, I think it's a half hour long of speech or so, so we should be in there about 11 o'clock, and you know, it depends on what we got. I got a lot of interviews the last couple of days. And we have some reporters that are going to be calling in, our senior producer, Thomas Fortenberry, and the chairman of the Fresno County Democratic Party, Mr. Michael Evans, will also be calling in and tell us what's going on. It is pouring rain. It's the sun is bright, so it's a, you know, it's a sun shower, but it's been raining off and on for the last couple of hours. Looking at MSNBC, I saw the people clear out from behind them. Because they had umbrellas up and whatnot, because they're doing a live broadcast outside. But I want to read you something. You're talking about a keynote speaker today. Well, let me stop for a minute here. Have you ever seen such lying in your life? And you know, they don't care if they're caught, because there are always ignorant and low-information voters. See, the low-information voter, I am not calling them ignorant. The ignorant are the people who have the, who are the ditto heads, who listen to the Pillsbury Doughboy's brother, Fat Boy, on the air, Rush Limbaugh. Those are ditto heads. But there are low-information voters that don't know, because they probably have to work their daggone butts off every day and don't get a chance to listen to the news. But there are low information voters that don't know when these people just lie. This clown, Eddie Munster, Paul Ryan, just lies, and then he tries to say, no, but who do you believe, me or your lying ears? Then he says, now, he lied by saying that the steel plant in his hometown closed during Barack Obama's watch, and Barack Obama said he was going to open it up as soon as he became president. That is a complete lie. All you have to go is, please, ladies and gentlemen, go on the internet. If you don't have the internet, call somebody, call the newspaper. They will tell you that plant closed in 2008. They got notice they were going to close in September 2008. They were closed. They laid off three-quarters of the ship by October. In December, it closed. The president didn't get sworn in until January. Now Eddie Munster is saying, well, he could have opened it back up. That's baloney. All the freaking hardware was gone out of the plant. They sent it someplace else. Come on. And they lie. They keep like, oh, Barack Obama took $716 billion out of the health care. Baloney. That's a lie. He took $716 out of the insurance company, not the provider side. He took it, not out of the service side that you're going to get service from. And they said, well, if he takes it out of that, you're going to get less service. No, that's not true. Because the insurance companies now, as I just had this interviewed on one of the conservative radio stations here 2 days ago, and I had to call in. I don't never call in because, you know, you can't get the last word when you call in someone's show. They can always cut you off. I won't do that, but they will. And I informed them, well, you know, I have health insurance for my daughter. I have health insurance for my daughter. It went up from $226. It went up from $216 to $407. I was shopping around for another one because that was too much. And then I got a letter in the mail from them, United Healthcare. I'm telling you, United Healthcare. And the letter said in the first line, because of the Affordable Care Act just passed, your insurance premium will no longer be this. It will be $226. I was paying $367. So how the heck can these people lie and say you're not getting any benefit? Plus, they need to now spend 80% of your premium that you pay every month. Listen to me now. 80% of your premium, if you're paying $100 a month for insurance, which nobody is, if you're paying $100 a month for insurance, $80 has to be spent on you. If it's not spent on you, you will get, say they spend $60 and not $80. That $20 will be sent back to you as the reimbursement check. You don't hear any of these ultra-right-wing automatons and morons and liars telling you that. But I told this to the radio station, and you know what? What I heard on the other side was silence because they didn't think that I knew that, because only people listening to them are ditto heads and low-information voters. Well, it's a rant. I don't have much time today, but that's one of the things. We're going to discuss this later in the next couple of days. But what I wanted to tell you about, hey, you got to listen. You got to see tonight the San Antonio mayor, Julian Castro. Julian Castro is the first Hispanic. Is he the first? He's from San Antonio, Texas. And he is 37 years old. And this could be a springboard for national prominence. You got to remember, 8 years ago, another little-known speaker, then State Senator Barack Obama, gave the keynote address at the Democratic Convention. And the Democrats that they're featuring today is Castro, the youngest mayor of any of the top 50 U.S. cities. And he is going to help Obama campaign in there in the battle for the Hispanic voters. And the Democrats hope that Castro, he also has a twin brother, let me tell you that. His name is Joaquin, who's, and listen, both of them went to Stanford, right? University, and got there. Guess what he graduated from? Harvard Law, okay? The younger brother is, let's see, I think the younger brother is 30. No, they're twins. What am I saying? They're twins. So they're both the same age. But when he graduated, he went into we're talking about the mayor now, Julian Castro. When he was 26 years old, he was elected city councilman in San Antonio, the youngest city councilman in the city's history. And he was elected mayor in 2009 at the age of 34 and won re-election last year with more than 80% of the vote. Hello there. Why do you think these Republicans are so much of fear of Hispanics and don't want them to vote? Because you know what? In 4 years, they will be on the losing end of the vote. If they don't get this in now, where they can change the laws, they can kiss their butts goodbye. They will not be controlling Texas anymore. And Castro will run for governor of Texas probably in 4 years. And that's what they're afraid of. And I tell you what, former George Bush advisor Mark McKinnon has been quoted as saying that Castro has a very good chance of becoming the first Hispanic president. Duh. I'm telling you. Yes, sir. That is it. So, let's see who we have on the line here. And hello there. Who's this?
Michael Evans. How are you?
It is Michael Evans, the chair of the Fresno County Democratic Party out on the left coast. And so I see they allowed you to come down south, huh?
Well, you know, we're tired of being called the left coast. We want to be called the left country.
Oh, the left country. Yes, well, I think I heard Rush Limbaugh saying that. Matter of fact, they do want you guys cut off. They want that. You remember that movie of Superman when he said he was going to that we'll have a missile and was going to land right out there in, I think, the desert somewhere, and was going to split all of California out under the ocean.
Yeah, I suspect Rush would like that.
Oh, you kidding me? Yeah, here, so they have over, 558 California delegates? That's the largest delegation in any convention.
Oh, I didn't realize that, but it's understandable. And we do have the largest population, and we've got a lot of good Democrats.
Absolutely. Over 558 delegates at this
mm-hmm.
one convention. I think New York has the next. But
uh-huh.
I was just talking about Julian Castro, the mayor of San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Who Mark McKinney was just saying that could very well be the first Hispanic president. After he runs for governor and wins the governorship in 4 years, because in 4 years there will not be enough Republicans to elect a dog catcher in Texas.
Well, but remember, it's not simply a matter of having the numbers and having the registration. You've got to get them to vote.
Hey, that's absolutely
so,
correct.
If we have a good enough battleground there on our road plan or game plan, then yeah, he definitely should win.
Well, yeah, listen, the guy's good looking, and so is his brother. I mean, every woman, female in Texas is going to vote for this man. I'm telling you that right now. Please,
well,
just
you know,
I'm on TV now. There, oh man, they should be the. It's like Mr. and Mr. Universe.
Well, I think we should focus on policy.
Well, yeah, right. That if we were focused on the policy, there would be no election because Obama would win hands down. This ain't about policy.
Right, right, right.
So tell us what's been going on now since you've been in town.
Well, today I attended the Planned Parenthood rally. That was quite an energetic event. It opened with Cory Booker. Cory Booker's the mayor of Newark, a very popular mayor of Newark, and some have said
And I understand he was in the hospital this morning.
Well, he didn't mention anything about that. But
yeah, what happened was he got out of his vehicle and he tripped on the sidewalk and he thought he felt all right, but they had to rush him to the hospital because I think the knee of the foot was slightly swollen.
Uh-huh.
So he seemed to be walking pretty good then?
He seemed to be perfectly fine when he was speaking, except it was clear that the southern humidity was getting to him. Very energetic. A rousing pro-Obama speech and obviously a pro-Planned Parenthood speech made a very good case, for voting for Obama and the need to continue funding for Planned Parenthood. And then he was followed by Sandra Fluke. She's the young woman that Rush Limbaugh decided to go to war with. And, and of course, she made an impassioned case. An amazingly articulate and well-spoken young woman who seemed to have been thrust onto the stage because of this one incident generated by Rush Limbaugh. But she made, obviously, a passionate cause as well. And then they had a number of other speakers clearly made the case. And there was a good crowd there. I would say by the end there were probably 500 or so people. But then as I came back to the convention center area, there were some protests from the right. There was a pro-life group, a very vocal and loud pro-life group. However, they were being drowned out by some convention supporters yelling, four more years, four more years. So that's one of the things that happened today. I also had the opportunity to attend the California delegation breakfast this morning.
Oh, okay.
And the state House Speaker John Perez was the keynote. But in California, your keynote may not always be the most famous person you see.
Right.
And we also had Kamala Harris and Barbara Boxer. And Kamala Harris is our Attorney General. And, of course, she's definitely going to be looking at federal or maybe national office someday. And then Barbara Boxer is easily one of the more progressive members of the Senate.
Right.
So that was really good. And then earlier this week, I saw the Occupy parade. And even though the police had told us there were only about 100 people involved in that, there were easily 500, 600, 700.
Yeah,
and,
well, that's what, they're saying now about 800 people.
Right. And I would say that was probably marked by the fact that probably each of the 800 people was supporting a different cause.
Right. Right. They had 800 signs.
But nevertheless, it was a strong rally, and they did have they stopped in front of Bank of America. And they had a number of speeches both about the bank and about some of the 800 issues.
Hold on a minute. We got senior producer, Mr. Thomas Portberry, on the phone. Thomas.
Hello, sir. How are you?
All right. Where are you at?
I'm down here at Time Warner Arena.
You're in the arena.
I'm in the arena. It's been a lovely day getting, securityed and rained on. But, I got in and just spent an hour talking with some delegates. And it's pretty nice. It is filling up, all the states represented. And it's going to be an interesting evening. They're about to kick off the convention in real time.
What's the security like down there?
Oh, it is extremely tight. They have all the streets closed. You only have one way in off the 5th, and you have to go through several layers of security. It's just like an airport. You get the machines and shuffle along and put your stuff in the tray. It's a lot of fun. But
to get into
at least we're all safe.
So you mean to get into the arena, you have to go through security?
Oh, that's to even get a block from the arena. And then,
is that right?
Yes.
So you mean
it's quite tight.
So it wasn't yesterday. It wasn't like yesterday or the day before.
No, sir. They have closed everything down now. You cannot get here at all unless you go through multiple layers of security.
So where's the driving? How close can you get driving?
What, driving?
Yeah.
You can't. They've closed the streets down. They brought in mobile barricades. And now Secret Service are going through all cars that try to get into the downtown area. They search the cars inside and out. And you're locked inside a raised ramp when they do it. And then if you're cleared, they will let you go through one at a time as they lower the barricades.
Oh,
yeah. It's gotten a little bit more serious.
Michael, how did you get to the downtown today?
I took the light rail, so I didn't have to deal with parking. And I came very early, so the light rail wasn't even that full yet. I would say it was about half full. I understand that that was about 7:30. But I understand that people coming later in the morning are finding the trains quite full.
Uh-huh. Okay, so where do you get off at the light rail?
The light rail for the period of the convention ends at Stonewall Station, and you have to depart there.
Well, I understand it really got that tight because the vice president is there now, because I'm looking at him on TV now when he arrived, and that was about an hour and a half ago.
That may be exactly why they're tightening everything down so much.
Yeah, it probably
right.
is.
I'm through the first checkpoint. I'm currently outside of the arena. And we just saw Jesse Jackson walk by, and Senator, soon-to-be Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you two need to be at the court. Thomas is inside the arena. Where are you at, Thomas?
I'm up on the second level. I'm near where I believe California is seated, but... I'm just on the outer loop here, trying to hear myself, because it's quite loud inside.
Well, how do you,
but anyway,
where is the press gallery? Is there a press gallery?
They are upstairs. They have a separate area that I'm going to go to in a little bit. I was just out here on the floor, though. I was talking to several of the delegates going through, and, quite interesting, because talking with Michael earlier, knew that he was from California, so I met several groups here, and they even had a group of Sikhs from California that came in, which is interesting timing, given the recent events in the country. But just had a fantastic conversation with a delegate from Texas, and I have a new catchphrase that I want to share with you that she shared with me. She's from the West Texas area, out in Abilene.
Yeah,
and she said that her term. She said we're done with all of that. They're turning the state blue. By the way, she said in 4 years she's going to deliver a blue state of Texas.
Absolutely.
Which I think is fantastic.
Right.
But she said out in the western part they're having the hardest time because she said out there the Republicans and the old Democrats. She said that are the pre civil rights Democrats, the ones that like to call themselves variations of dogs. She said they're not blue dogs or yellow dogs out there. She said they're all prairie dogs. she said they're so regressive. She said they just live underground all year in tunnel, and then you just see them pop out every once in a while at election time. Well, I thought that was absolutely brilliant. Yeah,
right. I like that.
I like that too. Well, what's the now? When tonight, are you going to be there for Michelle Obama when she speaks?
I was going to hang around, see who I could listen to. We've got a whole lineup tonight, actually.
Right, but what I'm saying is, though, where would you be seated? Because I need to come down there about the event. The caucus event doesn't start till 10 o'clock. But really, it won't even start then because no one's going to leave the arena until after Michelle Obama speaks. So
right. If
I come in, when I come in there, where do I go?
They'll direct you. They've got people every 5 feet asking for your credentials and telling you where to go. So it's not an issue. You'll find it pretty easy. They'll make sure you find your way.
Okay, so from there to the Ritz-Carlton is only about, a block?
Well, it depends on if you're talking normal time or if you're talking security time. Sometimes a block is not a block anymore.
Well, even if you're walking?
What's that now?
Even if you're walking?
Oh, yeah, I'm just kidding, Mike. Sometimes you have to go around the, three streets to get that one block because they've got areas blocked off.
Okay. Well, see, the problem is we're going to worry about if it rains, because it's been raining off and on all day.
Yes, it did. As a matter of fact, when I was coming through security, I got in a sudden downpour, and I got completely soaked. But then it stopped just a few minutes ago. So it may or may not be raining.
So I should take my umbrella with me.
That might be smart.
Okay. Well, the arena, Ritz-Carlton is across the street from Blue, the restaurant. And that's on College.
Right.
And the arena is on College also, isn't it?
The only way into the arena, you have to come up Fifth and go through security. They've closed all other roads in. You only have one way into the arena.
Only one way to get to the arena.
Yes, they got a checkpoint on Fifth. You have to go through.
Fifth. So going into town, that would be Fifth, because the arena is on, what, Third?
Yeah, we have to come in from the other side. I don't know if they have, maybe they have another checkpoint on the other end of Fifth. I don't know. But they only had one way in from this direction. All the other roads were closed and barricaded.
Oh, man. Well, forget that. I might not even go there. I might just go to the hotel instead. Not my castle. Okay. Well, tell us.
Some interesting things. Earlier this afternoon, I sat in on the media bloggers, the Obama media bloggers conference, and I got to talk with Greg Colburn, who's the communications director for the campaign. And, you know, he said to watch what they do during this entire convention, because they're going to be having some really interesting messages all the way through, and they're going to do something quite different than the Republicans did, which was repeat a mantra for their base. And he said, we're going to go, you know, full tilt, wide spectrum, and talk to everybody in the country and invite everybody in, because, you know, we're United America, not one single minority.
So they're not going to try out an 82-year-old man. They're going to try out a 12-year-old person.
What was that now?
I said they're not going to trot out an 82-year-old man. They're going to trot out a 12-year-old person.
Oh, they're going to have a wide range. They're going to have every ethnicity, every group, you know, everybody from workers to, you know, grandmothers going to be up there. And it's just going to be quite interesting because the tone is totally different. They're going to be completely issues-focused instead of bumper stickers. And they're going to talk in detail. And it's just going to be a really interesting convention all week.
Michael, how was the breakfast this morning?
Well, the California breakfast was quite good.
Was it free? Was it free?
No, there is a cost to it.
What was the cost?
Right.
What was the cost?
Well, there wasn't a cost to media, so I don't know what the cost was to the delegates.
Oh, so there was a cost to the media. What was the cost to the media?
There was no cost to the media.
There was no cost to the media.
Okay. Yeah, but they let you eat free?
Well, I didn't eat. I didn't feel comfortable about eating and not paying. But,
right. Okay.
But I suppose that you could have.
Okay. So, and how did that go? What was the story with the breakfast?
Well, what they have been doing is each day the California delegation meets at this breakfast, and they have a number of speakers on various topics, and then they go over the activities for the day so that everybody is aware of them. Both the caucuses and the convention schedule. So it's a very informative meeting, and it kind of gets lets people kind of get together and say, this is what we're going to do, and connect with who they're going to be doing it with during the day.
Okay. So were mostly all the state representatives there at the meeting, and congressional representatives?
not so many congressional representatives, but almost all of the state elected, statewide elected officials were present, other than the governor. And the chairman of the party, John Verdon, he had been here, but had to return for a root canal.
And the big
issue there is that the hotel, the California delegation, is at the Blake Hotel, and apparently they were building a new wing that did not get sufficiently completed before the convention began.
Right. All right, we got a caller on the line here. Let me see who this other caller is. If I bring him up here. Hello, who's this?
Nigga,
I'm 100% nigga. Nigga. Well, we'll just get them off. I don't know who it was.
Wow.
Anyway, so, I was speaking to Christian yesterday, and he was telling me the same thing. He says that they hired all these new people at the Blake Hotel, because that's what he's saying. And he says nobody knows anything. And what happened was that they closed off all the roads in front of the Blake Hotel, and the people, they weren't allowing the buses to leave because they didn't give the directions to the buses early enough. So he was transporting people to the convention center.
Well, you know, some of these things like that, I think you're going to have snafus like that, and they can be ironed out.
Oh, yeah,
But a hotel sort of selling itself as complete and not being complete, that's a different story.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a unique case, what he's talking about, because the hotel was just undergoing a massive renovation, and then they literally rushed it trying to capture the business for the convention because they were about to lose all of that business. So they literally did obviously, they said they completed it, but obviously they just rushed it and sold the space maybe when it was not fully functional.
Yeah.
But
that's a
different issue than the usual stuff with, like, you know, shuttling, you know, crowd control, that type of problem. That's just kind of disingenuous what they did. They sold a half-completed structure.
And that's a really, really large hotel. That used to be the Adams Mark Hotel, Mike?
Yeah.
And then it became something else. I can't remember what it was. And then it went to the Blake. But that's a pretty big hotel, pretty nice hotel. But
major expansion they were undergoing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so what are we looking for tomorrow? Well, tonight we're looking for the first lady speech, and what do you think how that's going to be received?
Oh, well, that's one of their key points in the entire convention. I mean, it's going to be received fantastically.
Yeah,
I think, several things tonight before, you know, you get to that. I mean, there's going to be...
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, what does the First Lady have to do tonight, Mike, to reach out to the listeners?
Well, I don't think the burden is on the First Lady. You know, there's a number of speakers tonight, and I think what they're going to be doing is there's going to be a lot of talk about the economy, about fixing that, about getting jobs. There's going to be a lot of talk of contrasting our positions, the Democratic positions, with the Republican positions, and I think there's going to be a lot of talk about the successes of the last 4 years and how those can be built upon with the reelection of the president.
Okay, Mike, I want you to listen to this, and I want this is about 29 seconds long. I want you to listen to it and tell me what you think of it. All right?
Okay.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Now, that was the father of the conservative movement, Paul Weinrich, telling his supporters a few years back, we don't want everybody to vote. Now, what do you think of that, Mike?
Well, I hear that, and I say that's the person that doesn't believe in democracy. And democracy is about participation of the people, and the more people that are participating, the more effective the democracy is.
You're saying
exactly right.
as long as you can prove who you are.
Right, and, you know, Cory Booker actually said it in his speech day, he said, democracy is not a spectator sport.
That's right.
He used a phrase, sedentary agitation. He said, that's what we've got to move. We've got to move beyond sedentary agitation. You know, you can't just sit in your chair and watch TV and be angry. You've got to stand up and do something.
Okay, well, but what about lying agitation?
Well, I think he was trying to get Democrats off their butts, not Republicans.
Right. Well, the thing is that, as I was saying before, and I'll say it again, lie. It's just like the film A Guy for a Married Man. Just lie, even if they're looking at your face. Who do you believe, me or your lying eyes or your lying ears? I mean, you know, it comes a time, but you see, when we have these people here who no longer care whether or not you catch them lying, my father used to tell us, my brother and I, he said, look, the worst thing in the entire world is a liar. I don't care if you shot somebody, you robbed a bank. But a liar is the worst person in the entire world because you never can trust them. And he says, my father said, if I catch you lying, you're going to get a beating with this belt. I got one beating in my entire life. My brother, you can look at the clock. My father would come home from work and say, oh, what day is it? Tuesday? It's time for Dennis to get a beating because I know he's lied today. So this is what the Republicans, this is what they're doing. They just lie, and they figure that, hey, enough people have so low information and are completely a ditto head that they're not going to know anyway. And those are the people we can get to vote.
Right.
So what are you saying? We just had Michael drop. So what do you say there, Thomas? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's going to be part of the difference in this convention, just like the difference in our party. This is an inclusive party. They're going to stress that inclusion tonight. I mean, you got to just look at some of the lineup. You've got everything from Debbie Wasserman Schultz opening up. You're going through Julian Castro, the mayor of San Antonio, is going to be speaking. You've got the first female three-star general appearing. You know, you've got, I think they're going to do a retrospective on the Kennedys, which were the first Catholics ever elected into office. You've got, we got Anthony Fox, our local mayor, is going to be there. We got Bev Perdue. First female governor. So, I mean,
Jimmy
just
Carter?
That lineup alone.
Well, Jimmy Carter is also going to be speaking. Jimmy Carter will be speaking also.
Yeah, so, but you've got just there, you've run the gamut from, you know, female to black to Hispanic to Catholic to everything. It shows you the whole fabric of America. And I think that's what they're going to be stressing. You know, that's why we've got the first black president. We've got the entire tapestry of America here. And they're just going to showcase that. I mean, it's one of the things they were talking about today in the bloggers conference is how much diversity and how much they have to show, how much they're going to be able to talk about his record. I mean, one of the things they were going to do counter to the Republicans to counter their message was they're bringing in the governor of Maryland who served with Romney and contrast that record directly and talk about what it was like under Romney and, you know, what changed and what they went through following down, you know, when they became, the 46th economy in the
47.
Country?
47.
Or 47.
They went from they went from 4 to 47th under Mr. Romney's watch.
So there you go. I mean, this is the things we're going to talk about. So it's just, it's going to show you an inclusive party that's really bringing change and really bringing growth to America instead of rhetoric, instead of just empty, you know, hate speech and division.
Did you hear, I mean, even they had, I forgot who it was from the Republican Party, was on the air today. I mean, they just lie just like my brother did. They just lie. And the thing is that they caught, it was a Republican that caught Eddie Munster in a lie 2 days ago when they asked him the simple question, oh, you are a big runner. You've done the marathon. So yeah. I did the marathon. He said, what was your time? He said, oh, I did that was just slightly under three minutes. And he said, but I don't run anymore because I have a dislocation in my back. Well, they fact-checked that. He is not a marathon runner. He ran a marathon one time when he was in college. And it was 7 minutes.
Right.
Do you know who beat him in the marathon? The last Republican vice presidential candidate, Sarah Palin, beat him when she ran a 4 minute and 50 second mile. Sarah Palin beat the X-Man in the daggone marathon. So the lying, because once you lie, you have to continuously lie to go cover up the lie. This man lies about everything. I mean,
we've seen the string of this for years. These guys who are they have to keep propping themselves up because they're war hawks and they want to sound tough. And then you find out that they're chicken hawks because they've never done anything. It's that type of personality. They have to promote themselves endlessly.
I'm asking the simple question. Why did he have to lie about the marathon? I mean, he's not competing.
No, because that's what they do. It's not the marathon. It's the everything. They'll lie about everything. But it's that endless, you know, aggrandizement. You remember the little guy that put his hand in his vest all the time? What was his name again? Yeah.
Oh.
Sometimes you have that Napoleonic complex where, you know, you have to make yourself better and better.
Well, of course,
Napoleon actually accomplished something, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, here's the thing that the host of the Today Show had him on today and asked him, well, this is what you said about the steel plant, that it closed under Obama's administration. So you know what he said? No. You're misrepresenting what I said. I said that President Obama said he was going to open it up when he became president and he would put all the steel people back together. Obama never said that. He never said that. And so the host said, well, wait a minute. Where does it say that in your speech? Let's play your speech again. He played the speech again. He says, no. That you're just missing something. What? I mean, so, you know, he's lying.
These are people that they run ads with, like, his speeches chopped to pieces so that it says things that he'd never said, you know.
Right. Well, hey, they played the whole thing for him right there on the air. And he says, no, you're misinterpreting what I said. I mean, this guy's a damn journalist. How the hell is he misinterpreting? I mean, as the old saying, do you believe me or your lying ears?
Yep.
I mean, so, you know, well, we're in a possible.
This is the thing that people don't realize. See, they're so regressive, they haven't realized the future is here. And so everything they say now and everything they do on TV is recorded. And
absolutely.
So now they can't get away with it anymore, and they're being called out on it every day. And that's what's hanging them. I mean, that's why they sound so ludicrous, because all you have to do is fact check them. And anybody computer can do it.
But the Pillsbury Doughboy was on at 12 o'clock today, and he was saying the same thing. He said, don't listen to what they're saying. Listen to me.
Exactly.
Oh, we got another call in here again. It might be that same nut job again. Hello. Hello, who's this?
John Conquest,
yes. Okay.
It will be legal in Texas to shoot niggers for helicopters.
No. Anyway.
All right.
When we have
the
lie.
The devil, and, you know, he shall appear.
Yeah, that's true. Now, the thing is that we have a situation now where the.
Well, you know, there's an old thing my dad used to tell me. I used to say, you know, hey, Dad, these guys mess with me at school or whatever, blah, 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 right? And he would always say, hey, you know, you're a danger to them when they start paying attention to you.
You think?
they're starting to listen to you, Mike. You better watch out.
Well, hey, listen, that's all right. Hey, but they're listening. So now.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's right. The thing is, tonight's I'm wondering now if I should go down there because of the daggone rain. I'm supposed to be, maybe I'll have to be dropped off, then I have to be picked up. I don't know what's going to happen here because it is just a doozy out here. It's pouring over here where I am right now. I don't know if you can see it out the windows from the arena. I don't know if it's raining here, but it's pouring here now outside the house.
Right.
So
it looks like it's not quite raining now. But it is raining some. It's sprinkling at least because I can see it hitting the window. But
it's pouring.
You know, look, here's the thing. It was pouring earlier and then it stopped, but it's just going to be like that off and on. And it is starting to get very crowded here because earlier when I came in, it wasn't nearly this crowded. It is filling up really bad. So
is that right?
Once this thing gets going, I don't know how difficult it's going to be for you to get in.
Well, I'll be able to get in because of the press pass. But what I'm saying is, though,
it may be long lines.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Right. You're right about that. Well, then it just might be. It might be better then. I need to.
You might could enjoy it from the comfort of your TV.
Well, no, because I have to be down there anyway. Well, see, but then I don't have to be down there till late. Yeah, that's right, because I won't have to be down there until late, because she's not going to, because the Black Caucus, the Congressional Black Caucus is not going to be, even though it's supposed to start at 10 p.m.,
right.
They're not going to be doing anything until after 11, because the First Lady is not speaking until 10:35, even though it's listed at 10 o'clock. Okay. So, you know, what's the purpose of going down in an empty room? Because everybody
can,
would be down there.
You can either just wait until after and go to it, or you can come here and then go with the crowd when it goes to it. It's up to you.
But the problem is, if you're saying the lines are going to be that long, and it's
it's filling up now because it's getting close, you know, so it's starting to get a lot busier than when I came in.
Okay, well, tomorrow we're going to do the show from our digs at 3 o'clock. And then, I have to meet you
from
down
our,
there.
Our red studio, is that the one?
Our red studio, right. And what I need to do is, I guess I need to drive over and meet you someplace.
No, sorry. There's so much stuff going on here. It's amazing.
Well, we're going to get ready to sign off for today because we only did an hour show today. And we'll be back on, ladies and gentlemen, at 3 o'clock tomorrow to give a wrap-up of the First Lady speech. Sorry, everybody else, they didn't have a chance to get in. But this is going to be a really, truly a great time in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the fireworks are going to start in 5 minutes. Yes.
One thing to stress to you, to the listeners also, the communications director today said, for those at home or anywhere else listening, they have multiple channels running. They're doing the entire blogosphere. They've got Twitter lit up. They've got simulcast going online. You can get applications in every device that you have. And they have extra features going the whole time during the convention. So you can listen to it and stream it and have a lot of fun and a lot of outside conversations.
Okay, got to go here. We need to put
our
I'll be talking to you.
On July 1st of this year,
the
interest rates on Stafford student loans, the same loans that many of you use to help pay for college, are set to double. That means some hardworking students will be paying about $1,000 extra just to get their education. So I've called on Congress to prevent this from happening. What we've said is simple. Now is not the time to make school more expensive for our young people.
Oh, yeah. You should listen to the president. Or as I like to call him, the Preezy of the United Steezy. Things are heating up inside Congress's chambers behind all those closed doors. So the president made a few discreet calls across the aisle. He said, hey, let's get together on this one. Without an affordable Stafford loan, where can a student turn? The Pell Grant is a beautiful thing, but with college getting more expensive, is it enough by itself to satisfy all your collegiate needs? Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no. If Congress doesn't act, it's the students who play. The right and left should join on this like Kim and Kanye.
Now, there are some in Congress who disagree. They say keeping the interest rate low isn't the way to help our students. They say we should be doing everything we can to pay down the national debt. Well, so long as it doesn't include taxing billionaires. But their position is that students just have to make this rate increase work. Frankly, I don't buy it.
The Barackness monster ain't buying it. We all know our legislative body is in the House tossing and turning late into the night, but still Republicans disagree and could even filibuster. But if they do, the president said they're going to feel it, Buster.
The GOP is steady saying no, no, no. They should start something new to do like Tim Tebow.
The reason it's so important to keep down costs is so we keep college affordable.
And the president knows his stuff, y'all. That's why they call him the POTUS, which means person on top. What is it?
Jimmy, POTUS stands for President of the United States.
He's the POTUS with the most.
Let's keep the race down on college loans.
Stop the loan you say may be your own. Yeah, let's get it together and make our lives better. Cause a college degree is more than a few letters. If college don't rise, we'll have financial blues.
And that is how we slow jam the news.
Oh yeah.
Give it up for President Barack Obama. with the president. We got back. Come on back.
Okay, everybody. This has been The Last Word. I will see you tomorrow.